All right, let's turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Joshua. We're studying about the Feast of Passover Conquest, which simply means that we should take what God's already given us. And there is a real need of people possessing what God has already given instead of just sitting idly by and not really moving into the possession. Now, we ended the teaching yesterday morning on, I believe it was verse 11, and we just had begun to move into the thought that when we come into this Passover, our diet has to be changed. When I say your diet being changed, I mean your ministry is changing.
Amen.
That is, you're not going to preach 1, 2, 3 points. In fact, you're not even preaching on subjects. You're giving forth the word of truth.
Yes, that's it.
And the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
Free from what? Traditions. Governmental bondage.
Amen.
And when we follow on into this chapter, the walls comes down.
Amen.
Walls of prejudice. Walls of denominations. Hallelujah. And people are not quite ready for these walls to fall. But you might as well get ready.
Amen.
They're falling.
Hallelujah.
And we need to understand that it's no longer milk diet. Or bless your heart, you shouldn't have to go through this. Yes, you should. We're not praying for your deliverance from under the pressures. We're asking God to put more on you, to bring you to where you should be. See, our people have learned not to call me when they have problems. I don't pray for their deliverance. I pray God put more on them. Well, why would you do that? To make them better and stronger Christians. We've got a bunch of wimps in the church world today. Can't stand nothing. Some little thing goes wrong, they go home. I just like a child, you know. Said, well, I'll just take my bat and ball home if you won't let me bat all the time. Well, go on. Jesus asked a question one day, and he said, what shall I like this generation to? Oh, he said, I know. I'll liken it unto a bunch of children playing in the marketplace. Now that's exactly what he likened the church to now. One said, I piped and you didn't dance. You didn't dance to my music.
Amen. Amen.
Another one said, I weeped and you didn't mourn with me. It's time that we began to realize that we ought to grow up. I believe it's Psalm 131 and verse 2. David said, I have quieted my soul. I have behaved myself as a child weaned from the milk. I have quieted myself. How many of you know that you're going to have to wean yourself from the milk diet? Hello. There's no bottle warm in here. There's no pacifiers. Somebody turn to that 131st Psalm in verse 2 and read what David said. Herman, you got it? You a good loud reader.
I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way.
Yeah, that's a good one, but that ain't the one I want. 131 and verse 2.
Hallelujah.
Surely I have behaved and quieted myself.
Now, listen to what I have behaved and quieted myself. Wouldn't it be beautiful if all the church members would behave and quiet themselves?
Amen. Praise God.
As a child that is weaned from his mother, my soul is even as a weaned child.
Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. That's what is needed more in the church world today.
Amen.
Than anything else that I know, is folks to behave themselves, quiet themselves, shut up, hear the word of the Lord, don't be so bossy. The authority of the church is in the pastor and the elders, plurality ministry, not a one-man show.
Amen.
That's over. That day is gone. See, a lot of folks don't even realize, like Brother Roland preached last night, they don't realize that God has changed the order. They're still holding on to the same old, same old. And that's what's wrong with the church world today. They're trying to convert the world with an 18th century doctrine in the 21st century, or preaching a second day message or a third day message with a second day mentality. And it won't work.
No.
You see, what you don't realize, the seventh day and the third day are the same.
Yeah.
Seventh day from Adam, third day from Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. And you can find the sevens and the threes all the way through the book.
Yeah.
Well, glory.
And
in this chapter preceding where I'm in, there was the priesthood. See? Five is the number of ministry. And it's also the number of grace. And you must understand that you cannot have ministry without grace. And if you're going to have more grace, you have to have more ministry. Aaron and his four sons, and that's five, that's the number of ministry. Hallelujah. And these ministries is what regulates the whole thing. And the same thing in plurality ministry. 13th chapter of the book of Acts is plurality ministry. And they name the ministers. And in that chapter, Barnabas was a prophet, and Paul was a teacher. But then the Holy Spirit spoke and said, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work wherein I've called them. And so they church fasted and prayed and laid their hands upon them and sent them forth. The next verse said, and they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Now who sent them forth? The church or the Holy Ghost? First, the church sent them. Second, the Holy Ghost said amen to it. Now, when you get the Holy Ghost to say amen to your operations,
hallelujah,
then you're in divine order.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And without divine order, there will be no growth spiritually. You can have 1,000 in number and have 1,000 babies. And the church world, all they want to do is to beget babies, and they don't want to grow them up. It's just like the world's going. Anybody can father a child, but anybody can't raise one. And all the church wants to do is to father a child and keep them in the nursery the rest of their life. Grow up. Grow up. And the reason you don't want to grow up, you don't want to have no responsibility. And you cannot have your diet changed until you're weaned. Well, glory, hallelujah. You ever saw a child just raised up on milk? Oh, they look healthy. But you could put your whole hand into their flesh, this bunch of fat, slobby, good for nothing. Just like church folk. Can't get them to do anything without grumbling. The Bible said that these people's diet was changed. They had been living on manna for 40 years. I guess they wrote many books on manna. How nourishing it was. How many calories was it? How many vitamins was in it? They was used to it, going out and picking it up without work. You see, that's the reason that people don't want to leave the wilderness. They don't want to leave the wilderness. They got everything they need. All they have to do is to pick up the food. The clothes don't wear out. The shoes don't wear out. They don't have to do nothing but obey the leader, and then they grumble about that. Somebody say amen. Everybody knows more than the pastor knows. Or they think they do. What do you say? Well, I tell you what they'll do. Honestly, if the preacher changes the diet and goes to feeding you a different diet, what happens? Gives you diarrhea. Hello? And you go to running. Looking for somewhere else. When will we get individuals to grow up, leaders to grow up with enough of backbone to preach the truth to folk, whether they like it or whether they don't like it? Now, when will we do that? Oh, hallelujah. I've been in the religious realm, and I've been in the overseer's position, general overseer's position, and I've told every church I've ever organized, stay with them as long as they give you freedom. If they ever block you down, leave them.
Amen.
I mean that right now.
Yes, that's right.
Don't stay in a church you don't have freedom.
Amen.
Don't stay under anybody that don't give you freedom.
Amen.
To move with the Spirit. Move with the Spirit.
Amen.
Sometimes I may not understand it, but you move with the Spirit.
Amen.
If it's of God, it'll pan out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, amen. How many of you have had your diet changed?
Yeah.
You're not living on just discernment. You're eating, well, hallelujah. It's not a sermon that we're talking about. The Bible said they eat of the old corn of the land. Corn has a germ of life in it. Now, if you're listening to something that don't have the germ of life in it, it's wrong. And there's nothing any deader than just an essay or a sermonette that's 1,800 years old. And that's where these sermons come from, Spurgeon. Don't misunderstand me. I think one of the greatest series that I know of is the Treasures of David with Spurgeon. And there's about 6 or 7 interpretations of every psalm in that set. And it's well worth anybody's time to read it. But when you read it, don't just copy it. Let it come down into your spirit.
Amen. Amen.
And become part of you.
Yeah,
hallelujah. I've had folks to hear tapes and preach, me preach, and then they'd go and re-preach it. Nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
As long as it becomes part of you.
Yeah.
It has to get in your spirit. And then don't mention my name. Because it don't belong to me, it's yours.
Yeah, that's good, brother.
Hallelujah. I've heard preachers say, now don't steal my thought. Since when is it your thought?
Yeah.
My God, if it's your thought, I don't want it.
Amen.
That's right.
It's God that gives you the thought.
Glory.
And why should you try to make money on what God gave you? Freely you receive, freely give.
Amen.
When will people learn that? Oh, hallelujah. These televangelists has got 18-wheelers leaving their headquarters loaded with books and tapes and all kinds of stuff, making merchandise out of what God's given them. It's wrong. Well, they're a great preacher. Who made them great? Come on, who made them great? Get wise. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to be a kingdom? You can't put a charge on nothing.
That's right. That's good, brother. Praise the name.
I've actually been to camp meetings and I didn't have enough of money to buy a meal and I couldn't get nothing to eat because I didn't have the money. Now that's ridiculous, and I'm talking about holiness campgrounds. Are you getting quiet on me? I've been in the kingdom churches, and I would like to have a tape, but I couldn't get one unless I'd buy it, and I didn't have the money to buy. Now listen, that's not right. Oh, hallelujah. Well, you can settle down now. I'm going to go into the Word, but it's pitiful the way things are going in this hour. And yet, nobody's rising up against it. Oh, God. And everybody you see is a bishop. Don't even know what a bishop is. They turned the collar around backwards and don't know why they done that. The preachers were so poor, they couldn't afford the church with the collar on it. That's the reason they've come out with a clerical collar. Everybody has 11 o'clock service on Sunday morning and don't know why they have an 11 o'clock service. It's because Martin Luther left to sit in the tavern and drink beer, and he couldn't do that no later than 11 o'clock in the morning. It wouldn't be morning mass. And every church having an 11 o'clock service because some drunkard wanted to stay in the tavern a little longer. Learn something about what's going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that. Okay. Don't believe it. But you do some research and you'll find out I'm right.
Yes,
you are.
Study. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, he couldn't have been right if he was drinking. No, you've been taught wrong. It ain't what you eat or drink. It ain't what you wear. It's the spirit that's in you that makes you right. Hallelujah! That's the reason churches don't have room for the wayward out yonder, the drunkards, the prostitutes. I wish God fill up the church with them. Let the word of God cleanse them. Oh, hallelujah! 15th chapter of John, verse 3 said, "You're clean through the word." Not an altar call. D.L. Moody instituted the altar call. Hallelujah. Don't find no altar call in the Bible. Hello? The whole church is an altar. The whole world is an altar. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You get saved right where you're at. Praise God. And brother, when you do, you'll have a different spirit. You automatically let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. Do you think we need our diet changed? How many of you think we need our diet changed? How many of you think we need to change the way we're ministering the word? Well, glory to God. God ain't called you to tell somebody how to dress. God ain't called you to tell somebody how to fix their hair.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Well, your hair's your covering. Well, what do we bald-headed folk do? My covering is the blood. And some ladies put them little bitty knit tams on their head and think they're covered. Praise God. Saints, we need to go a long way yet to get out of some of this junk. We need to learn how to possess. You are a spirit being living in a body. Hallelujah. You're not a body moved by the Spirit. You are a spiritual being. Oh, hallelujah. And your soul is being converted. It's saved and yet being saved. And when you get that soul lined up with the Spirit, your flesh ain't going to have no problems. I guarantee it. Well, read that 11th verse, James.
And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, and parched corn in the selfsame day.
Now they eat corn. And life is in the corn. It's been proven. They found some corn or wheat in a pyramid that was thousands of years old. Took it and sowed it in the ground and it produced. The life is in the corn. How many of you know we need to eat food with the life in it? Huh? And we don't need to hear dead sermons. But the Word of God has to be alive, amen, quickened, more powerful, hallelujah, than a locomotive. Swifter, glory to God. It's going to do the work. But you're going to have to change all of this little old sermonettes. Hallelujah. We've had 15-minute sermon and go out because it's 12 o'clock. So what? Who said you had to eat dinner at 12 o'clock?
The man.
Who started that? Well, okay.
The man.
If the preacher preaches that at 12 o'clock, he's long-winded. And if he don't preach till 12, he's short-winded. I've come to the pulpit many times, didn't feel no anointing. I said, let's go home.
Amen.
Dismissed.
Right.
Well, I want to tell you what I know for, because I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be here, so I want you to be here tomorrow.
Amen.
So don't try to tell people everything you know at one time.
That's right.
If you don't feel the anointing, shut up. Go home. And then if somebody else feels the anointing, you sit down and let them get up.
Yes,
whoever's got the key to the service needs to have the service.
Amen.
Amen.
But they're not ordained. Well, ordain them. I don't know whether you've ever read the book or not. I'm not a book salesman, Brother Andrew here. He in that business. But if you never have read the book of Open Church, you need to get that book. Because it tells you in that book the history of a lot of these here traditions.
Amen.
The greatest blunder the church ever made was in 300 A.D., come on. It made everybody an audience and one entertainer. And that's not God's pattern for a church. Come into the church, everybody sit there and be entertained with a speaker. No, sir. How is it, brethren, when you come together, you all have a song. You all have a doctrine. You all have a tongue. Well, where is it? You don't find that in churches today.
That's right.
The preacher's the entertainer.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Right. This is not popular, but it's the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
It's the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. How many of you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Paul said, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, you all, everybody. See, he was a Southern. He used you all a lot. And how many chances do you get to share what you have?
That's right.
Anybody here have a revelation this morning? I'll sit down and gladly hear you. But I expect you to have a revelation of the Word. If you don't, we'll correct you when you get through.
Amen.
That's all there is to it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. There's people today that just looking. Now, somebody said, you precious open church, open pulpit. Yes, sir. This pulpit's open. It's only open for the Word of God and the revelation of the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what the elders and myself are for, is to judge what is right or wrong.
Amen.
Churches don't have that. They are missing something.
Right. Amen.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
So, after the Passover, they eat. of the roasted or parched corn. Now, not only did their diet change, but their leadership changed. There was no more cloud. There was no more pillar of fire. They'd been led that way for 40 years. Now, can you imagine changing the way you have been led for 40 years just overnight? Now, that's the reason churches fly all to pieces when you try to change their diet and change the leadership. But it's God. Hallelujah. It's God. Now, read the next verse.
And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land.
Now there's no more manna, so thank God you're going to have to kill some Philistines. You ain't got time to raise a crop. You got to kill some Philistines and take the granary from them. Now you don't make a midnight raid now over in the vineyard and get a bunch of grapes and be satisfied with one bunch of grapes on a midnight raid. That's the way Pentecostals are. They want to make a midnight raid and get a healing and live on that for 6 months. Have a midnight raid, and a few people get the Holy Ghost, and they talk about it for 6 months. My, didn't we have a service?
All right.
Didn't we have a service? Oh, God. Look how many got the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Well, they ought to get the Holy Ghost in every service.
Hallelujah.
They ought to be healed in every service.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you ought to be used to some many miracles. They don't even excite you no more, because you're not living in miracles, you're living in His presence, as the brother preached last night. And in the presence of the Lord is joy evermore. Amen. Some of you just get happy once in a while. Hello. But how about living in the happiness? How about learn to laugh when you wake up in the morning? You know, some of us, we have to move one leg at a time and see if all of it's working. Me and Herman jump out of the bed every morning. Hallelujah! The day the Lord has made, I will be glad and rejoice. Be happy.
Yes.
Learn how to enjoy life.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Quit pinching pennies.
Yeah. There you go.
Laying it up for your children when you pass. I'm enjoying what I get.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I bless my children while I'm alive. If the Lord takes me, I've left them a good road map. Well,
amen. That's right.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. You can look back and say, well, Dad was a happy man.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
The manna ceased. The way of leadership ceased. Here they are. Hallelujah. In the land of promise, but don't see nothing. Just like you. You in the land of promise. You have the opportunity to eat the word with the life in it.
Amen.
Well, who's going to lead us? Well, Joshua's still there. Hallelujah. Now, here, right here is tedious ground. I want to clear something up to you. I was challenged one time in a convention in Springfield, Brother Bill Britton's church. I went in there and Bill wanted me to preach, and I preached. And I said, now you may have 10,000 instructors, but you only have one father. And I said, Bill is the father of this work. Then in the dining room, Bill came to me and said, you stirred up something this morning. I said, what did I stir? Oh, he said, these preachers are really stirred up. Said, that's not the way we preach it. I said, well, that's the way the Bible said. Well, they want a challenge. I said, I'll accept a challenge. 65 against one. It's a good challenge, isn't it? And I told Brother Bill, I said, Bill, I ain't got time to hear all these 65 preachers. Pick you out three of the best trained, the best equipped ones, and let them go first, and then I'll follow them.
Amen.
So they did. They presented their argument that all the ministries was equal. When they got through, I said, well, I'm not going to take up all the time. I want to go sleep and rest. I said, I'll just give you a couple of scriptures, one in the Old Testament, one in the New, and if you can tear that up, I'll believe with you. I said, now in the first chapter of Joshua, the Bible said, Moses, my servant's dead. Now, did he turn it over to the 70 elders that Moses left? Or what did he do? He chose Joshua. Hello?
Hallelujah.
Now, that shows you that God's not interested in turning it over to everybody. There has to be a senior pastor. Now, if you don't want to accept that one, go over to the 15th chapter of Acts. James said, brethren, my sentence. Now, he's talking like a judge there. And there's apostles and elders there also. But James was the pastor of the church. He said, brethren, my sentence is. Now, that's the judge handing down sentences and not asking nobody else. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now.
Amen.
You've got to have a senior pastor.
Amen.
And the senior pastor has to have under shepherds.
Yeah.
And their pastors also. Well, hallelujah.
Yeah, that's right.
And all elders are bishops.
Amen.
But all elders are not ruling elders.
Yes, amen.
Well, right. A ruling elder is a bishop also, but he is the pastor.
Yes. Amen, brother. Praise.
And under the pastor are other elders, which are bishops also.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. That's the Word of God. And so I give them that and I sat down. Bill got up and said, can any of you tear down what he's just said? And he wasn't the one of them opened their mouth. If they had, I could have come back with some more. But I'm here to tell you that we need to have the right kind of teaching and preaching in our churches. And we don't have it.
That's right. Amen.
They just don't have it.
Amen.
Well, why then don't we have it? Because of the stinking traditional doctrines that's been fed to us and fed to us. And somebody wants to be up on the high pedestal. Amen. And they get all the entertaining. And you just an audience.
That's right. That's right.
It's not so. You are important to God.
Amen.
You've got something to say for God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So get a hold of God.
Yes.
Get with it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And let's all add our two cents to what God's doing. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now somebody says, well, I don't know what I want to be in a church like that. Well, get out. God will send everybody he wants here. Hallelujah. Well, they won't pay their tithes. Okay, who needs it? My God, I'm telling you right now, I'm not dependent on man. I'm dependent on God. Amen. And the elder body of this assembly is under authority to look after me. Amen. They're under authority to hold my hands up. Well, glory to God. And when we get a church trained right, you have no problem. It's a privilege to pastor a kingdom church. And that's just another word for spirit church. Come on. It's just another word for spiritual church. Some pastors cannot yield. They think they have to be there even on a prayer meeting night. Heavenly Father, I'd be gone 5 or 6 weeks. I come back to church stronger than it was when I left it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, what'd you come back for? Get my pay. Hallelujah. Amen. So, well, you ain't on no salary. No. God told me when we organized this church, no boards and no salary.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We don't have no salary.
Praise God. Glory.
I have needs, and that's what they supply.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, glory to God. I go to that shout by myself this morning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I tell you right now, we don't have no need. You go into a lot of churches, first thing you hear is, we got this need, we got this need. I don't have no need. This church don't have no need. Every bill is paid. Money in the treasure. Hallelujah. And if I needed all, I'd get it. You hear these elders say that's right? Amen. I'm here to tell you, neighbor, the church was set up wrong.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
How many of you believe the church is set up wrong?
Yes, sir.
You know it's not according to the Word.
Right.
Now, when you go to getting it according to the Word, first enemy you've got is overseers, moderators. They're going to come against you. They're going to come against you, buddy. Arm yourself.
Amen.
You cross the bishop, you in trouble.
That's right.
You better know it.
Well, I'm right. I'm in the Word. I know that. But they don't know it.
That's good.
One fellow was telling me, he said, we've got a college of bishops. I said, what? College of bishops. And then we got an archbishop. I said, that sounds to me like the Pope. There's not one word of Scripture to back up a college of bishops. I don't know why I'm on this morning. But how many of you understand that biblical terms they don't want to use? Apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And they're trying to do away with it. Dear friend of mine, I've known for years, started this deal down in Florida, he's got it working. He's going around ordaining apostles and prophets. And I said, Bill, you know better than that. Pardon me, I didn't mean to call his name, but you don't know his last name. The very idea of ordaining. There's no such thing in the book. Well, how do they become apostles or prophets? By the presbytery. Hello? You want Bible pattern? Let's go Bible pattern now. Ooh, hallelujah. They lay hands upon folks and how many times have I saw ministers line up in the altar? How many times have I saw the old apostles go down, whisper something in the man's ear or woman's ear, and they get up and leave? You know what they tell them? You ain't ready for this. You go back to your seat. If you do that in this hour, you know what happens? They'd get mad, stomp, and rave, and go out of the church cursing. Which proves they ain't right.
That's right. That's right.
Good, brother. I don't argue. Ooh, hallelujah. I've tried to show you we need a weaning in the church. Hallelujah. We need to cut off the milk diet. But you need to... How many of you know that if you go to eat parched corn, you can't gum it? You can, but it'll take you some time to get it soft enough. Huh? Oh, come on, saints. I'm trying to show you something. Hallelujah. This that we are in now is one of the greatest visitations. Well, no, that's the wrong term, see? We carry over traditional terminology. God ain't looking for a visitation. He's looking for a habitation. He and even a visitation changes your lifestyle. Oh, you don't hear me. If I come to your house to visit, I'm going to interrupt your lifestyle. And even feast stinks out of 3 days. Hello?
Thank you, Lord.
Now, what I'm simply saying is we need a habitation. And if he moves in with you,
God, everything's upset.
I like what God does. Oh, glory to God. He comes in, he kicks over the tables.
Yes, that's right.
Turns the money changer's table upside down.
What's this do?
Interrupts your budget.
Yeah, that's good.
Interrupts your budget.
Yeah.
And he tears the place all to pieces. And then you know what he says? My house. My God, it's his house. He do what he pleases. Oh, you're in here. Hallelujah. God, he go in and tear the thing all to pieces and says, my house. No wonder when he comes into the church, he tears it all to pieces. They ain't used to him. Man, he kicks over everything. Oh, hallelujah. Kicks over your candy setting. Your chicken suppers. Your flea markets. Somebody says, well, how come they have rummage sales? Because they don't know how to pray.
Amen.
They don't know how to... They say, well, Jacob prayed. Yeah. You want to analyze his prayer? When he turned the stone upside down, stood it up on his end, when he was in the wilderness, said, the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. Turned that stone up and said, now, Lord, bless me on my journey. Give me food to eat and raiment to wear. And when I come back here, I'll pay you the tithes. My God, you ain't got nothing but leftover food.
Amen.
And used clothes.
Yes.
That's all he's asked for.
Amen.
So they have to have a rummage sale. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if your church is doing this, God bless you till you can see the difference. I've never believed in selling anything to make money.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
I just don't believe it's right.
Amen.
It's true.
Amen.
I believe if God ain't big enough to sponsor his own program, then I ain't going to serve him.
Amen.
That's right.
It's simply that plain.
Yes.
Well, how many of you know that that's the way God wants it? I'm not after trying to sell a revelation to make a dollar.
Amen. Amen.
I'd rather dig ditches. Oh, hallelujah. I've told missionaries that we've sent out, you tell me you're in need, I'll see it's supplied. If I have to roll a wheelbar,
yeah,
dig ditches, because
yeah,
I love ministry.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God that he's changed my diet.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I have a love for the Word.
Yes.
I have a love for the Word of God. And I want you to understand, I don't need a cloud. I don't need a pillar of fire. I've got the reality.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Read some more with me, James.
Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat the fruit of the land of Canaan that year.
Now they have to have another diet. They have to. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you something. It's time we begin to hit some Philistines in the head.
Yes, sir.
And get the greenery. God's fixing to release. The whole world in your hands. Oh, I don't believe it. What do you believe it or not? I know some of you are not able to take it because you can't even pay tithes. Much less handle the finances of the world.
That's right.
My God, it's a privilege to give.
Amen.
It's a privilege. Hallelujah.
Praise.
I'm not boasting, but I'll tell you right now, and you can get the books and look, I'm one of the high givers of this church.
Amen.
That's
right.
Amen.
Praise God.
I'm one of the high givers of this church.
Hallelujah.
Well, what do you do it for? Because I love God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can't even be saved without being a giver.
That's right. That's the word.
You can't have the Spirit of God without being a giver.
Amen.
Because every time the high priest went into the holiest of holies. What do you think he went by? He didn't go by the lampstand. He didn't go by the golden altar. He entered in by the table of shewbread. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And that is, he entered in by the offering. It's the only piece of furniture in that tabernacle that is the same height as the Ark of the Covenant. What does that tell you? Your giving is no better than your redemption. My God. You hear what I'm saying? I'm going to say it again. Your redemption is no bigger or higher, oh hallelujah, than your giving. If you can't, oh praise God. That table of shewbread, same height as the Ark of the Covenant. And the high priest goes through the veil. Hallelujah. Well, there wasn't no door there. No, there wasn't no door there. He just walks right through a 6-inch veil. Hallelujah. Now, I know a lot of preachers, they preach this, but I laugh every time I hear it. The high priest went in with a rope tied around him. Why, that's Josephus' business. That ain't in the word. They say he went in there so they could pull him out if he died. Let him stay. God didn't tie no rope on him. Josephus said he did. Josephus is right on a whole lot of things, but he wrong now. You go by the word.
Yes, amen.
Come on. Go by the word. A bell and a plum granny on the curse of that priest. Ooh, hallelujah. You've got to learn the word of God.
Yes, amen.
That priest, you see, somebody said, oh, but we changed to the temple. Not Solomon's temple. Bless God, Solomon's temple represents the church. And church, well, somebody said, why? When Solomon built that temple, he put a window in the holiest of holies. And you know good and well there couldn't be no light in the holiest of holies but supernatural light. And man made it so natural light can come in. That's what you got in the church, just natural understanding. No spiritual revelation. Ooh, you hearing me? And God said, don't put steps to the altar. My God, he made 10 steps up to the altar. And not only that, he made it big enough to offer an elephant on. Or a couple. Made it 20 by 20. And that's the reason the church world is always harping about altar. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. These fundamentalist evangelicals said, McCurry don't even have an altar. What do I need an altar for? The whole earth is God's altar.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. I know I've crossed some of you. That's all right. So every seat in this church is an altar.
Yes, it is. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
I'm here to tell you, hallelujah. I get more people saved accidentally than a lot of folks do on purpose.
That's good. That's true.
Hallelujah. I go up to the service station. I go talk to an individual, lead them to the Lord right quick. In a restaurant, motel, wherever I'm at. Some of them said, are you a wrestler? I said, yeah, I'm a wrestler. Because I'm big in stature, they think I'm a wrestler. Where are you wrestling at? Down to Faith Tabernacle. That gets their attention. What? Oh, what's the world coming to? Wrestling in the church. I said, that's where I do all my wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Learn to be a witness. Learn that we're in a new dimension. Hallelujah. How many of you have led somebody to the Lord in a restaurant or wherever? Praise God. I remember one time we was eating in Jacksonville, and this was after my second wife died. And I was there with some Assembly of God people. I was preaching down there in the church, and a lady come up to me and said, can I have this dance? I don't dance these fast songs. I thought I'd get rid of her, you know. I said, if I dance, I have to have a slow song. Bless God. She went over to the band and told him, said, play me a slow song. Here I'm eating with these church folk. And that woman comes and said, now you promised me a dance. I said, I didn't promise you. She says, you did. I said to these holiness folk, excuse me. I got out on the dance floor, was dancing with that woman. And I said to her, I said, do you know the Lord? Oh, I used to. I said, what in the world did he do to make you turn against him? Oh, nothing. But it done touched her heart. Tears just running down. I said, why don't you just give your heart back to God? Why don't you just surrender? I don't know. I said, I'm going to pray for you right now. Hallelujah. Just dancing. Praying for that one. God gloriously saved her. Filled him with the Holy Ghost right on the dance floor. I condid it the Holy Ghost goodbye. Went back over there to that holiness couple. And that lady come over there and she said, where's your church at? I said, I don't have a church here, but I'm preaching over here at the Assembly of God. I'm going to be there. And then she went and said, I said to these folks, don't you dare tell them where this woman got the Holy Ghost. Now, listen to me. Listen. Some of you said, my God, the very idea. Yeah? But how many of you had your diet changed? Huh? How many of you had your leadership changed? How many of you know Jesus attended the wedding where they was well drunk? That's what the book said. The preacher mentioned it last night. Ooh, hallelujah. You'd better lay down some of your old traditional beliefs. Let's get out here and win all we can win. We ain't going to win the world no way. Hello. Somebody said, yeah, it's not his will that he should pass. It's not his will, but everybody ain't going to be saved either. Hell wasn't made for humanity. It's made for the devil and his angels. But you're intruding on him when you go there. A man, young man got killed in a car wreck here last year. His wife was at church here Sunday morning. His wife come over and asked me to preach the funeral. Said, we don't go to church. They always trying to run us off and tell us what to do and do. Don't. I said, well, I'm not really, I have no religiosity. I'll be glad to preach his funeral. Glory to God. And I had a chance to hit that old traditional doctrine with all them holy jewels there. I want to tell you, saints, we got to change our philosophy. We got to line up with the Word. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How holy we are, folks. Do you realize? I don't know if you're a member of this denomination. I feel sorry for you. I was talking to an Assembly of God pastor, a good friend of mine. And he said, well, Brother McGurry, we don't allow a divorced person to teach Sunday school. I said, you don't? No! We believe in holiness! I said, well, it's strange to me. God couldn't even teach in your church. Third chapter of Jeremiah said, God give Israel a written bill of divorce. He was a divorcee. Oh, I don't say that. I said, flip over there and read it. And I said, not only that, he's a bigamist. He had two wives. What? And I said his wife he didn't divorce was worse than the first.
Amen.
Come on, saints, learn what the Word of God says. Come on, how many of you believe it says that? That's the Word. And the church folks has took Romans 1 and made a doctrine against divorce. And it ain't even talking about that. He's talking about grace and law. Grace and law. Glory, you divorce the law to get grace. And don't send somebody to hell because they've divorced in their life. All weddings is made in heaven. And sometimes you live with a devil in heaven. I always say a good divorce is better than a bad marriage. Somebody say amen. You're looking at me like I'm an oddball, and I know I am, but I'm trying to show you we've got to come God's way. Hallelujah. Oh, there's nothing any better than a marriage if you find your soulmate. If you find your soulmate. But I'm going to tell you something. You may think you have your soulmate, and 35 years later find out it ain't.
It's true.
Oh, Lord, I ain't in on that. Reasonable.
And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked.
Now, I like that phrase, because when he was about Jericho. Now, you've got to understand, I've been here on this territory. Now, when you get into Jerusalem, Jerusalem's on a hill. And any other way you go, you're going down. And Jesus made a parable one time, and he said there was a certain man went down from Jerusalem, which is the type of the church, to Jericho. Now, Jericho is a city of fragrance. I mean, I'm giving you the definition of Jericho. And Newbery Bible. And I found this out because I challenged the man that was preaching. And I asked him where he got it, and he didn't know. And I said, don't preach something you don't know where you got it. So I had to go and hunt it up. And in the Newbery Bible, it gives the definition of Jericho, the only place we've ever found it, as the city of the moon. Now, when I first heard that, I questioned it. Because, listen, I've read that Bible through more times than I can count. I don't know it all. But you bring something new on me, I'm going to ask you where you got it. Because there's not many things I haven't experienced or I haven't read about somewhere. And I never had heard that expression. City of the moon. And you know, the moon is the lesser power. And the moon is under the woman's feet in the 12th chapter of Revelation, which insinuates that the devil is under your feet. Because the moon has no light, it's a reflection of the sun. The devil has no power, only what you let him have. He's been stripped.
Amen.
And all that's left is an influence. And some of you let an influence rule your life.
Amen.
And that's wrong. I said, that's wrong. Hallelujah. But this man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and when he did, he fell in among thieves, and that's exactly what happened. And those thieves will strip you.
Amen.
Now, what all will they strip you of? Your influence, your clothing, and everything that you have, they'll strip you of that. And they'll wound you and leave you half dead. Not all the way dead. Half dead. Well, will the church help you? No, they'll cross the street. Ain't got time to fool with you. Well, will the priest help you? No, they'll cross the street. Who's going to help you? The good Samaritan. And what is he going to do? He's going to get off of his beast, get down into that gully where you are, pour all in your wounds, and bind them up, lift you up, put you on his vehicle, and take you to the end, and pay for your keep, and say, now, if it's any more, I'll repay you when I come. Thank God my keep's been paid for. My wounds has had oil poured in them, and hallelujah. And he's took me to the church, told the church to care for me, and if it's cost any more, I'll take care of that when I come. Are you following me? That's exactly what God is saying to us.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And today, if you go to a church and ask for help, the first thing they're going to say is, well, where do you go to church?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. No, it's what you need. Okay. Hallelujah. I got some more time, read more. He was by Jericho.
Then he lifted up his eyes.
And he lifted up his eyes. Don't you think it's time you quit looking down?
Amen,
sir. Amen.
Huh? How many of you believe it's time to lift up your eyes and see something besides your shoes? And when he did, he saw a man with a sword.
Yes.
Woo!
Glory, glory.
And he said, are you for us or are you for our adversary? He said, nay, I'm for neither one. I ain't interested in you or your adversaries either. I'm the captain of the host of the Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm the captain of the host of the Lord. In other words, I'm on the Lord's side. And if I'm going to be on your side, you have to come on his side.
Yes, amen.
Well, glory to God.
Amen.
That's the only way you're going to get
right.
him to help you is come over on his side.
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. And what did that angel say? Throw your shoes off. Now, you remember Moses at the burning bush. The Lord said, pull your shoes off the ground you stand on holy. Now, this was when Moses was being commissioned to become a leader. Now, if you're going to be a leader, you're going to have to do it barefooted, which simply means you don't rip and stomp and just do your own thing. You walk very softly if you're going to lead folk. And sometime they're with child and you have to go extra slow. This is the teachings of the Word. you can't ram something. You see, preachers today try to cram it right down their throat. You're going to believe like I do, bless God. No, not unless you see it. Not unless it's quickened to you. So Moses had to pull his shoes off to be a leader. Now here's a man that's fixing to go into warfare. He don't know it yet. And God said, pull your shoes off. If you're going to war, you mean I have to war barefooted? Definitely so. Now, we are about the end of the chapter. Next chapter starts about Jericho was shut up. And whenever you are going to come against walls, you're going to have to do it barefooted. Walls of denomination. Walls of prejudice.
Yes.
You'll be surprised how many people that are in kingdom churches is prejudice. Mm-hmm. Racial prejudice.
That's right.
Prejudice against poor folk.
That's true.
That's true.
Prejudice on every hand. Now, if you're going to come against all of that, you're going to have to do it barefooted.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I said yesterday there was three places where they had no shoes on. Now, the high priest didn't have shoes on. Hello.
That's right.
The high priest had no provision for shoes. Oh, he had on an expensive garb, all right. But he was barefooted. But what does that mean? If you're going to worship God, you don't hop and stomp and do your own thing. You do it barefooted. I've been in the conventions where, oh God, it makes you think you was in a honky tonk. I've been in a lot of them. Hello.
Amen.
How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, amen.
I've been in the kingdom churches where they'd have three or four women up here leading the singing and swaying just like, and music sound like honky tonk music. It's not right, neighbor.
That's right. Simple.
It creates a lasciviousness.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? It means unbridled lust.
Uh-huh.
We've got to understand that there is some deity about God.
Yes. Amen.
Some holiness about God.
Amen.
That's what I always appreciated about Sister Matthew Harmon. She knew how to behave in the house of the Lord.
That's right.
Some folks thought she is against emotionalism, but she was not. I've danced in that church many times. Hallelujah. But there's a... What is the word I'm looking for? There's a mannerism. There's a way to worship God. Hallelujah. Do you dance in deep water? No, you don't. How do you act in deep water? You tread water. You ever studied American history? Huh? The Indians was here again, though. Do you know, boy, out there we could learn a lot if we just, an old cowboy coming through a saddle on a horse and get on it and ride for about an hour, him bucking and trying to throw him off. An Indian just get up on a horse without a saddle. lead him over there to the river and just ride him. And he ain't bucking. Why? He's in the water. The water's too deep for him to buck. Oh, hallelujah. See, you can learn something if you would just apply yourself. If you want, oh, hallelujah, to get in, praise God, in the 30, it is, what is it? What chapter in Ezekiel it talks about?
Ankle deep.
Ankle deep, knee deep, thigh deep, swimming deep. There's four dimensions. Pentecost has went to three. But there's a dimension that has never been into yet. Hello? How many of you understand that? There's a dimension that hasn't been reached yet. Oh, well, praise God. I ain't going to get into that dimension. But would you turn to the 13th chapter of Joshua a minute? This will go right along with that. Verse 1.
Now Joshua was old and stricken in years.
That's what he said. Now listen to what the Lord said.
And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years.
You learn to talk, brother. God is going to repeat what you say. Hello. We're going to read it again. Some people don't know you got sense enough to talk. They want to tell everything, you know. You don't do that.
That's right.
Joshua said.
Now Joshua was old and stricken in years.
All right. And then when he said that, the Lord said.
And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years.
Oh, yes. God repeats what you do. Well, I can't tell it no other way. Tried. Tried.
Yes, amen.
Now, listen. The Lord told him, said he repeated what he said. He said, you're old, well stricken in years, and yet...
there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed.
Do you? Land in the Old Testament is spirit in the New. There's yet very much spirit to be possessed. There's a whole lot of spirit you don't know nothing about yet. Are you following me? Well, hallelujah. Don't you think it's time that we begin to develop that fourth dimension of the spirit? Oh, there's just one dimension of the Spirit. The Bible said he gave not the Spirit of God to his Son by measure. Right. But he has measured you a measure.
Right.
And it's time that you begin to add to that measure.
Amen.
And learn how to go into that fourth dimension of the Spirit.
Amen.
And it will wipe out all of your worry and all your anxiety. Hallelujah. And you'll learn how to live and walk in this earth as a spiritual being. There's no room to worry. There's no room to fret. You've come to the fourth dimension. My God. What chapter is that? 37th chapter?
47th.
That's right. You got it? Read with me. I want to go with that fourth dimension, swimming deep. And one other thing, when you get into this fourth dimension, there's no mud to kick up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't catch bottom, so you can't kick your mud up.
Afterward, he measured 1,000. It was a river that could not pass over, for the water or risen water to swim in, a river that could not be passed over.
In other words, in this fourth dimension, hallelujah, we're coming into a degree of the Spirit that is absolutely impossible to get over it. Hmm. But now let me show you what else it says there.
And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me, caused me to return to the brink of the river.
Uh-huh.
Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other.
Hallelujah.
Then said he unto
me, and one translation says palm trees. And when you come to the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus, it says that there was, well, the waters was bitter. And Moses was commanded to cut a tree down, put in the water, which is a type of the cross. And the cross sweetens up the water. And they left Merar and went down to Elim. And there was 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. Great God, what a message. You get a fresh spring of water every month of the year. Mm-hmm. And 70 palm trees. Hallelujah. Number of man's days. And there's 365 usable parts of every palm tree. So you get a fresh benefit every day for 70 years and a fresh well of water every month.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Now what more could you ask for?
Amen.
And here in the fourth dimension, there's trees on both sides. One translation says palm trees, which simply means there's 365 different parts that's usable. Hallelujah. And they're all along the banks. You will never have another need when you hit this fourth dimension.
Hallelujah.
You'll never know another need. Why? For there will be developed in you a fear of the Lord. And my Bible says the man that fears the Lord shall have no want.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of you understand that?
Yes.
Come on, I want you to say it with me. He that feareth the Lord shall have no want.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, what's happening to me? I have wants. Well, create the fear of the Lord. The awesomeness of God. I know you're getting tired of sitting, but I'm telling you now,
hallelujah,
you and I have got to come to the place of this developing this fourth dimension.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And in this fourth dimension, he brings us to the banks. The banks is trees, palm trees, 365 usable parts of every palm tree. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. But you don't get any of this till your diet's changed.
That's right.
You don't do any of this until you lay down your old order stuff. Hallelujah. Do you want to get rid of your old order?
Yes. Amen.
You all get rid of the old way of believing?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm a new creation.
Hallelujah.
Well, glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I got 5 minutes till 12. I won't give you a chance to ask questions. Hallelujah. Now, don't be silly. You got a question of what we've taught on, ask it. But don't ask me about who's the Antichrist.
Just go to a mirror.
That's all you have to do, look in the mirror. It's between your eyes the Antichrist is. And don't ask me who's going to be the world leader. I can tell you who it is. It's Jesus.
Amen.
There never have been one. There never will be one till he comes. Whose right it is. Everybody understands in everything I've taught, huh? Praise God. That's good.
I don't fully understand the fourth dimension. I thought I was just trying to get into the third dimension and possess it.
Well, that's good too, because you got to get the third before you get the fourth.
Can you expound a little bit on that, the fourth dimension? Because I've heard you teach on it before, but
it'd take too long. I'll do it tomorrow. Amen. Because this fourth dimension brings us to the pulling down of the walls. That's exactly what it means. It means there is no walls. But you're in a dimension that you cannot kick up mud. Hello. You see, there are some people that's not satisfied. They want a drink and then jump in it and muddy it up so nobody else can drink.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Brother Curry, when the church sends the ones out and it is checked by the Holy Spirit, how would that be in this day right now for our body or a body that's listening to what you're teaching?
All right. If the Holy Spirit... See, the Bible said the Holy Ghost said. And every time when you read that in your Bible, he's speaking about prophecy.
Yes.
Otherwise, it would say being interpreted.
Yes.
And so when the Holy Ghost give a prophecy, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them, then the church prays and fasts before they lay hands upon them. Then when they lay hands upon them and they send them forth, and then the Holy Ghost endorses it and say they be sent.